The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Siobhan Lang is brought to you by Bahamar, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bank of the Bahamas, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Everybody Wins, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Stormframe, Tampa General Hospital, and Wendy's.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands toll-free on 242-300-5720, that's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about, but I did catch some dialogue this morning and thought it was interesting for me. Because some of it, I have some personal experience with and perspective on. So it was proffered this morning that maybe we won't really have any change in our education system. An education system right now that is beset about by some industrial unrest at the administrator's level, potentially at the teacher's level. Someone reminded me today that I needed to mention that to tell Deputy Prime Minister Cooper and the Minister of Education that you can't disrupt something that was already disrupted. He said, they've noted that if you got insufficient principals and other administrators, and you got insufficient teachers, and you got other issues at schools and whatever, you really ain't disrupting something. You might be making it more disrupted, but it already been disrupted. In any event, you know that the courts have now decided that the administrators need to go back to work. They issued an injunction on their industrial action. And so the court has ordered them to go back to work. There was some thought about whether, you know, how is it possible that a union could decide to strike legitimately if they have a strike certificate, but the court can go ahead and just quell that. Well, the reality is we live in a country where any parties to an agreement who has had unilateral action taken by any one party that might be deemed by the other party to be injurious to his cause, in this case, the government of the Bahamas, in relation to the students that it is seeking to educate, that it has the right under law to go and petition the courts for an injunction, meaning for a temporary stay in the behavior and conduct of the party doing the injurious or deemed to be doing the injurious action. So that the courts can make that intervention and limit the purported injury until the matter is formally considered. And in truth, an enlightened society would want that to be the case. You would never want to live in a situation where anybody could take unilateral action, cause as much harm as it wishes, and not have the and an aggrieved party not have the opportunity to go to the courts and say, listen, I'm not telling you to stop them from doing what they may be legally able to do, but I'm asking you to issue an injunction, a temporary stay, so that until we can have the matter resolved, and then you might conclude, yes, they should be able to strike, and then they could resume their matter in accordance with, you know, the law. And so that the court does have that not only right, but it has that, it has been granted that power under the Constitution of the Bahamas, and it exists for the benefit of all of us as citizens who may one day petition for such relief, temporary relief, however much it is, in a matter. But also, it was proffered that maybe we should make it mandatory that in order to run in an election, you have to commit to sending your children to public schools. So, first of all, the doing that assumes that the only reason, or the most critical reason, and that therefore a solution to problems in the school would be if your children, if the children of politicians went to that school. Okay, that would be based on what analysis of school problems? Which, where is that analysis that says, you know, we have discovered and found that the reason why our schools are not doing well is because the children of politicians don't go to that school. Well, the children of politicians live in the Bahamas, and the Bahamas have problems. The children of politicians drive on the roads in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and the roads in the Bahamas have problems. Hmm? The politicians live in and have family in all these constituencies in which they exist, and the constituencies can have issues and problems. So is it really the view? And again, we got to ask, what's the problem? Is it really the view that if you have your children go to a school, that the teacher shortage we are seeing all over the world, not just in the Bahamas, but all over the world, would be resolved if the politician's child went to school? You could argue maybe they will try a little harder to get the teachers, but is that really, really the crux of the matter? Or is it a supply and demand issue that transcends whether your child goes to a school or not, right? You have a school that has a plumbing issue, right? It ain't like the plumbing issue ain't being fixed. Not even if the politician's child isn't in the school, but would that have prevented that from happening? What is the issue? The teachers are striking. They want more money. Would they get more money if the politician's child was in the school? How does that work exactly? Why? Is my child in school? I don't think it is quite as simple as that. Even though I know, I understand the point being, maybe if they had a greater connection to the thing, there might be more fervency for the thing. Yeah. I mean, on the scale of probabilities, you could make that argument, et cetera, but I don't think so. So I became a minister in 1997. At the time, I had one child, and he was 3 years old, so the issue of him going to school hadn't arisen yet. But by the time as he had turned five, my wife and I had a debate. Because all my life, I went to public school. Big Pond Primary School, Lewis Yard Primary School, Hawksville High School. Never saw a private school day in my life. And I had no issues with private schools, public schools. My wife, on the other hand, went to public school, went to St. Joseph's Primary School in Lewis Yard, or Hunters, I mean,
went to St. Paul's Methodist school in Freeport, Grand Bahama. All her life, private school she went to. Her affection and belief and conviction was we should send our children to private school. Mine was, no, I didn't believe that. I believed that if parents were committed and involved in their children's education, that their children could fare well in a public school. But what really determined the issue for us was some experiences I had in which it became clear to me that my child in a public school, where the government was directly responsible for the operation of that school, could be subject to any amount of ridicule from both teachers, perhaps, and students and parents, simply because they were my child and I was involved with the government. And so anything that got broken in the school or went wrong in the school, they could be subject to that ridicule. In a private school, that's not the same reality, because the government of Bahamas isn't directly responsible for any private school. The private school is a private board and others who are responsible directly for what happens in that school. And yes, they may still suffer some ridicule, but it wouldn't be to the extent that they could in a public school. And I decided for them that that was what I was going to do. Not because I thought the public school was bad and couldn't satisfy their education. But I assure you, my children had gone to any number of them. Well, let me reverse it. My children didn't go to Aubrey Sales Primary School. But I want you all to go look at Aubrey Sales Primary School prior to 1997 when I was the, when I was the member of parliament and a cabinet minister. Look at it prior to that and look at what happened after that. Aubrey Sales had extensions done to it, some renovations done to it. I and my children weren't at that school. But it happened because they appealed to me that some work had been done at Woodcock Primary School and upgrades to Woodcock Primary School and nothing had been done to Aubrey Sales. Or it was the reverse, one of the two. But I caused to happen that. And my children didn't go to that school. So we don't suffer because our children aren't in a place. We don't suffer because we are in a place. We suffer because our leadership isn't effective enough to make the changes required to bring the improvements necessary. That's what does it. All the changes that happened in the Family Islands with the upgraded infrastructure and what have you, when you but Alexander Ingram came to office, didn't happen because Mr. Ingram was in every one of those islands. It happened because he cared enough about the state of the Family Islands to uplift their circumstances. That's what leadership does. Leadership does it whether it is in the place or out of the place. You could be in government and don't have no children. What happens then? You don't have no children to be in a school and you're not therefore attached to the school and therefore nothing should happen for the school. No, leadership has to have a heart for the work. That's what makes the difference. Not subjecting your children to anything, good, bad, or ugly, but having a heart for the work. That's what was required. And many number of progress, any number of things that were done for the better didn't happen because somebody had some direct connection to the thing. It happened because you believed in your cause and you did your work well. Bahamas had a period of fiscal execution in which the average GFS deficit of the country was around 1% in the 90s. The money what was being managed by Mr. Ingram and William Allen wasn't their money. But they managed it in a way that caused there to be a sustainable amount of deficit and borrowing in the country. You get different people do different things. It depends on your mindset. It depends on your heart. It depends on your commitment. It depends on your work ethic. It doesn't depend altogether on your direct connection with a thing. So I understand the point, but no, people shouldn't have to have their children in public school in order to be able to affect positive for those schools. You should a politician should have the right to decide for their family, but every single body else decides for their family. Same right, right? Your children didn't ask you to get in politics, so why should they have to be subject to some rule that says they should go and have to go where they go? Really? I don't think so. What's next? The judges too? And then permanent secretaries, and then they have to do the same thing. Anyway, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got lots to talk about. We'll be back after this break.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on a toasted sesame seed bun. Classic style. Big flavor. Big protein. Big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money. Only at Burger King Nassau.
Managing your investments just got easier with RF Bank and Trust. You can now deposit funds directly into your investment account from any local bank using your brokerage cash account number. It's simple, secure, and funds are available within 1 to 2 business days. Just log into RF Online to find your account number, add RF Bank and Trust as a payee in your preferred banking app, and send your funds directly to your RF account. To learn more, visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust, money at work.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send me know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands toll-free on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we are now very near to 100 days since we were told that the government of the Bahamas sent $700 million to the National Investment Fund, $700 million in excess borrowings. We are now 100 days since. No explanation has been given as to the status of that $700 million. None whatsoever. Almost 100 days since, we have not been told, how do you borrow excess monies without the Parliament's approval? Like, what does that mean? How do you borrow that? Because all borrowings have to be by way of positive affirmation of the Parliament by way of resolution. How do you borrow excess monies? No explanation for that. How do you transfer $700 million to the National Investment Fund when the National Investment Fund has no board and the law requires a board to set up a fund of the fund and to set up any account of the fund with the approval of the Central Bank of the Bahamas? No explanation as to, one, whether a board has been formed, because the last we were told there was no board formed, and that was said to us by the Minister of Finance. No board formed, no account could therefore have been established. So where did the money go? No explanation. If the money went to an account that belonged to the government of the Bahamas, that account is a part of the consolidated fund. If you spend out of the consolidated fund, you have to be doing so by appropriation by the Parliament. So any monies removed out of that account had to have been appropriated by the Parliament. No explanation as to whether the Parliament appropriated funds for, in this instance, the primarily the airports infrastructure, according to the Director of Communication, Senator Latrell Rami, not the Minister of Finance, not the Prime Minister, with whom the book stops. He was told that by inquiry from the Ministry of Finance, and as a result of inquiries being made by Neil Hartnell, who apparently is the only one today who can get any response to these fiscal matters from the government. That's the record. On the record, that's what the case is. No explanation, $700 million, almost $1 billion. We got a national address on $20 million of overtime to workers of BPL who are doing work that should have, according to the Prime Minister, been done by Bahamas Grid, which is receiving $8 million a month for contractual work it's supposed to be doing in relation to the transmission distribution network. We got a national address on that. It's $20 million. $20 million we got a national address on. No national address on $700 million. None whatsoever. In the meantime, we have learned that the government gave loans to government agencies that amount to almost $700 million. Loans to them, to agencies that we know, and these are supposed to be short-term loans. Short-term is a financial term that normally means within 12 months. Medium-term, between 1 and 3 years, long-term, beyond 3-5 years. These agencies don't stand one chance in hell of paying back those loans. Not one chance, especially not in the short term. The Beaches and Barks couldn't pay the government back $2 if the government didn't give it $2 to pay it back. You want me to say it again? Beaches and Barks couldn't pay the government back $2 unless the government gave it $2 to pay itself back. Bahamas Power and Light today couldn't pay the government back $2 unless the government gave it $2 to pay it back. Water and Sewage Corporation couldn't give back the government $2 unless the government gave it $2 to pay it back. But the government gave almost $700 million and in quote, loans to those agencies. No explanation for that. No explanation for the terms. What were the terms? What's the payback term? Maybe it's a payback term of never. And then that would explain how they don't have to pay it back because the term is never. But it's a loan. I'm giving you a loan to pay back never. Why would I do that? Well, I could only do that if I were trying to I was trying to manipulate the fiscal results by ensuring that some capital expenditure that would ordinarily come out of the capital expenditure side of the budget were paid for in ways that didn't treat them as capital expenditure, but treated them as loans or payments out of the National Investment Fund. And then that way, I could artificially suppress the size of my expenditure and artificially inflate my fiscal bottom line and therefore produce on the paper a surplus of a sort. Let me explain it to you again. If the government of the Bahamas in May of this year produced a budget that said it would have a surplus of $75 million last fiscal year and a surplus of $223 million in this current fiscal year, that's based on a certain level of spending and a certain level of income. If the government had to make the payments for the primarily airports out of the capital account of the government, the capital expenditure would increase by that amount of $265 million or about. And therefore, the $75 million surplus or the $223 million surplus would be erased and you would have a deficit both in those fiscal periods, unless you had some compensating revenue and there was nothing to compensate. So to get around that, don't provide the government agencies a subsidy out of the capital account. Give them a loan. They ain't gonna pay it back no time before the end of the world, but call it a loan. That's what you can do. Or notionally say, but you can't actually say, notionally say you sent some monies, excess borrowed monies, to the National Investment Fund, and then you pay for these things out of the National Investment Fund. Now you can say, well, the government didn't directly do it. And what do you then get? You get an artificial fiscal result. Surplus, surplus. That's what you get. But that's just the theory of the case. We don't know because no one is prepared to give us an explanation. No one. I mean, we are being treated to the most stubborn resistance to explaining public affairs that I've ever seen in my life. Not for $7 million, not for $70 million, you know. Not for $20 million in overtime, for $700 million plus dollars. Absolutely incredible. Now, add to that this. The government said that it would have a $75 million surplus in 2025, 2026, that's the previous fiscal year. It says it will have a $223 million surplus in the current fiscal year. Did you all know that the government revised those numbers since the budget was passed? Did y'all know that? No, listen to me. I'm talking about shortly after the budget was passed. Mind you, bear in mind, you think through your budget, you prepare your budget, the Ministry of Finance does all its work with respect to the budget, and you present your budget. Typically, if there's a revision to the budget, that happens like at mid-year. So when the mid-year budget process happens, you might have some supplemental budget bills or something like that to make some adjustments and heads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No. Shortly, like within days of passing the budget, the government revised the budget. revised downward the surplus from $75 million to about $37 million. Did y'all know that? Yeah, I mean, just revised it. And revised upward the surplus to, like, it was $223 million. I think it's like now $229 million or thereabouts. Or $291 million or thereabouts. Just revised it. No explanation. None. If this is all possible without explanation, one might reasonably ask, as Gowan Bow, who was part of the fiscal,
See Live off the record,
has asked, how is going to build trust in what you're doing? How do you believe the numbers? How do you believe that this is the actual results of the fiscal and financial affairs of the country? It's hard to understand that when you get no explanations. But I made a commitment. I'm going to keep raising it. Apparently, I my voice is not influential enough. I'm not Neil Hartnell. I'm not. The press, the media, other than Neil Hartnell, cannot get an answer. The opposition cannot get an answer. Apparently, the fiscal committee, they can't get no answer either. But I made a commitment. I'm going to keep raising it because I think it's something that deserves an answer. And my God, I am stunned, shocked. None to date. None. Minister Fadans. None. I can go and point you to statements after statements where in opposition, now Prime Minister Davis and others, lambaste, castigated any number of administrations, FNM administrations, about things far less significant than this. Calling for commissions of inquiry. 700 million dollars just disappear, like no explanation, not a soul. I mean, there had to have been a vow taken. Don't answer them. Shut your mouth. Nobody, don't answer them. Is that what happened? Because the silence is palpable. No matter who asks it, you can't get an explanation. You cannot get an explanation. Incredible. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
The islands are calling. Escape the crowds and traffic. Dive into crystal clear waters and feel your stress just melt away. Explore scenic natural wonders and rediscover your Bahamian roots. Go back to the islands with BOB's Ultimate Island Escape Promotion. For your chance to win, apply today for a BOB Consumer Loan or BOB Visa Gold Credit Card at bankbahamas.com. Win big with BOB, your bank of solutions. Terms and conditions apply.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Since 1999, Storm Frame Windows has been the name Bahamians trust for authentic, tested, impact-rated windows and doors. 26 years, zero failures during Hurricane Dorian. Somewhere, a hurricane is still filing a complaint. Protect your biggest investment. Call Storm Frame Windows at 325-6633. Storm Frame Windows, proven since 1999. Undefeated ever since.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to join us, call us today. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I was waiting for somebody to text me and say, but why is that silence? Why everything is, that's what silence feels like. Just like that. That's what silence feels like. Politicians typically like to talk, right? I mean, most people in politics, including myself, who was in politics, like to talk. I mean, like, we don't have a problem. We actually love the engagement in conversations. We love the sparring. We love the debate. I mean, you know, so we don't have any problems with that. It's part of generally our makeup. And you can watch the politicians who are on the scene today. You heard them. They all on them, you know, many of them, most of them, very talkative. Had plenty to say during the election campaign, plenty to say before the election campaign. Talk, rah, 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 rah. All over Facebook, rah, 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 rah. Talk. Right? We especially, as politicians, love to talk about things that's positive, that we believe will make us more popular. We love to do it. Oh, we just did this program, just did that project. We just signed that agreement. Just fly over to the Europe and did this. Fly to America and did that. We get the press, and we love when the press comes, push that mic in our face and ask us questions. And we stand there like people in command of the world and tell you X, Y, and Z. We're doing X, Y, and Z. And it's because our programs are working and because we're doing this and the world is being changed by us and so forth and so forth and so forth.
When you see politicians silent, they are not happy, proud of, or really on board with what the heck is happening. You see them answering you. The answer ain't good. The answer ain't something make them proud. The answer ain't something that will make them popular. That's the bottom line. Want me to say it again? If you see a politician doesn't tell you what they're doing, doesn't answer you when you ask, it's because the answer ain't no good for them. The answer will not be something they're proud of. The answer will not be something they believe you believe will be grand. Answer is not something that they believe will make them popular. Because if it did, boy, you would not even worry about that. Where's $700 million? Oh, we spent $100 million giving scholarship to the Bahamian children. We spent $100 million patching up the road down there by Carmichael Road, the road down there by this place, and the road down there by that place. Oh, we just built this school down there in the east of Grand Bahama and the west of New Providence. We just, boom, 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 because our government is working for you. That's exactly what you would hear. That's how it works. Have you not heard about the money being spent on the breakfast program? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Why would your $265 million, $700 million not be proudly reported upon? Because apparently they ain't proud. I don't know. This text says, thank you, Mr. Lang. Thanks for responding to the suggestion about making it mandatory for persons in parliament, children to attend public school. I agree with you. It should be passion and responsibility as a leader or stakeholder to want to improve our educational system, not hard and fast rules. We must always take a comprehensive approach to solving problems. This text says, I am a Bahamian in the U.S., working in the public sector. Continue your equitable reporting and opinions. Thank you. I'll try my best. Do what we can. This text says, well, okay. So, Mr. Lang, what's the point of a union and strike if it is not capable of an intended effect? That's what a strike is. And they already have the strike order. The government can do anything they want and get away with it, it seems. That's not true. That's not true at all. You as a citizen, as I indicated, have the right, if you feel aggrieved by any action, to have the courts review the action and do an injunction. The court didn't say you can't strike. The court just says in the circumstances until the matter is formally looked at, you can't do so. That's not the government doing whatever it wants to. That's not true. That's not true. That is using the court system, the independent arm of your system, to review a matter. And it's a temporary stay. So no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. This text is Mr. Lang, they only saying they want the politicians to send their kids to school because of the lack of care and attention to the government schools. All private schools open with no issues from last week. Teachers graduate from UB every year fully qualified. We have educated professionals not working home. Can be in administrative positions. Come on, man. It is simple. It isn't that simple. And I'm sorry. You can say that all you want. You can say it's not that simple. The teacher shortage is not just here, all over the world. And you don't hear what happens in private schools because they don't tell you. They don't tell you. And these private schools are smaller. The government got to find teachers for scores of schools. Scores of schools. A private school only got to find a teacher for their school. All right, I mean, come on, man. That's not, it is not simple. And that's part of why we can't solve problems in the country, because everybody believes everything's so simple. It's not that simple. I do believe they could do a better job, that for sure, right? But it's not that simple. This is not there's a global teacher shortage issue, especially in technical area and in some of the particular subjects like math and sciences and them kind of things. That's not just the Bahamas. Okay, so I don't buy that. You know, and you can't do the private school comparison, right? You don't pay to send nobody to school. You pay to send people to school, you treat it differently, right? That's why you pay. So they have, Since not every politician is passionate as you and respect the people's wishes, maybe that's the problem. And there are lots of passionate politicians, period. I'm just saying that what is required is that to get and make things happen. So I am not buying sending people them to school so you can get the result. I'm not buying that. I just don't buy that. So, Mr. Lang, we are certain none of the $700 million in question was spent on teachers or medical professionals, and definitely not in any airports, from what people all over the Bahamas are saying. Where's the money? If they cannot account for the monies, is this a treasonous action against the people of the Bahamas? No, it's not. Around the world, politicians have been put to death for much less. That's nonsense talk. Nonsense talk. They said, Mr. Langdon, it sounds like the same $700 million will appear in a surplus. Is that what you are saying? As I was, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that using the money in a different way allows there to be an artificial surplus. Say, afternoon, is this Guardian Talk Radio? Yes, it is. Someone texts me to ask me if this Guardian Talk Radio. But this is my personal WhatsApp number that I use when I'm on my show. Says, good afternoon, Zhivago. That issue of the $700 million that was moved and government's refusal to speak on the matter is very disturbing. Are there no laws that can demand that a government give account for the people's money? If the government is above the law, then what is the purpose of the Constitution and laws? Is this something that can be taken to court? I'm very confused. Yes, you could take it to court. You could take it to court to get a judicial review of the matter. Yes, you can. And the court could say, the money was in, but you got to go to court. You got to present evidence. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then you got to find lawyers to go take it to the court. If you are a lawyer out there and you want to take this matter to court, please text and say, I'm willing to do this. I don't even have to leave your name. I just want to know if you have a lawyer out there who's willing to take this matter to court. Since people believe it's so simple, we need a lawyer or lawyers who say, yeah, I'm prepared to go take the matter to court. Just text me for 439-3043. I ain't calling nobody's name. Just text. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. Do you think it would have been easier if the government would have engaged the unions reference to persons retiring like this year and last year and sit with them and the union and ask them to stay on until they can fill such positions? Maybe offer the people a two-three-year contract? I am just asking your take on it. This seems to be an option that is not exploited the knowledge of people. I think that it is an approach, and I understand that it was an approach taken in times past too. I don't know if it was taken this time, but yes, I think that it is an approach that could be taken. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break for news, and then when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful
Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, excellent talk show, Mr. Lang. Agree, you're a financial expert and the surplus has been misrepresented / stated by the government. Hence, there was arbitrarily adequate time to facilitate teaching, confirmation, staffing, and school repairs. Many of us understand accounts and finance and why is teachers being undermined. Teachers are a core branch of the effective and succession of the Bahamas, so why is minimal attention and resources allocated, says that text. This text says, hey, God bless. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I want to purchase some guavas. All righty. So, good day, Mr. Lang. I know if they had to attend PMH only, the hospital would be better. That's a fact. Let the rats bite them up. I can't argue with you all over. So all politicians should be made to do a half day of substitute teaching in public schools, not for photo opportunities, but to see what education is all about. Okay. Say, good day. It sounds like buck stops with me. Daddy Brave and crew is trying to pull the wool over the people's eyes and make it seem things are great, but it's in shambles. I don't believe any of it. I believe the government is hiding its need to prop up BGC, which at this time appears to be a failed business. Nothing they promised has materialized, and it will never materialize. They came to this project that has aging infrastructure with no money behind them. The billions they need to upgrade will come from nowhere else but the Bahamian government. And the government does not have it. BGC will limp along for the next 25 years if allowed. This text says there is a gigantic gap between Latrice Casual, I hear they use the money for airports, which I never believed, and in quote, we gave short-term loans to government agencies. Somebody lying, and if none of the 33 can give an explanation to the people on use of their tax money, well, the finger pointing at them. Further, if these agencies needed this money right after the election, why wasn't it included in the budget? So good day, Lang. So they really don't need to answer no one. Okay, tell them come for my money. According to what I'm seeing, they leave in this term extremely rich, but I will wait until December 26th. Stay tuned. It will be a Black Xmas. Really? Say, Justice. This Texas organization deserves descendant people, why don't they open a Creole to English preschool from grade 1 to 5? Says, I've been saying for 3 months, the government needs to declare a low-level national disaster to address the energy crisis, that establish a framework for communication, collaboration, and regular reporting. Imagine my surprise when the NDA announced today that they're having a business seminar on how to respond to crisis. In the last 3 days, I visited 2 businesses that lost internet services due to power outage. Multiple customers walked out unserved. Yeah, that issue continues to loom large. This texter says, Mr. Lang, I'm a business owner on West Bay. Our electricity is, I think you mean off again. You said one, but you mean all. Customers asked, will it come right back on? Of course, I don't have an answer. They were ready to swipe. Suck my tea, Bob. Wow. Yeah. So the minister, of education, I mean, the minister of energy, Jobeth Colby-Davis, the other day, said that, she said that, you know, they were prepared for summer, but were not prepared for the excessive heat that we have had this summer. Because according to her, that heat resulted in some complications to the system. She also used that word irregular, I think irregular something. Before, BPL used irregular configuration on the network. Anyways, to be clear, I did some research, and in some parts of the United States of America, some power companies did experience forced power cuts because the excessive heat on the system and combined with the demand created challenges for their system. And also because the excessive heat also resulted in some transformers malfunctioning and some of their lines being compromised. That happened in some parts of the United States. I got names of the power companies that happened to. Some in Europe too experienced similar circumstances. As far as the Caribbean is concerned, I saw nothing in the Caribbean. But I saw something for US, I saw something for some parts of Europe. Bear in mind that if you're looking in the US, you could be talking about places like Arizona and them, where, like, when you're talking about heat, you ain't talking about no 90 degrees in temperature, you're talking about 120, 180, I mean, 110, 105, that kind of thing. So it is conceivable that this is possible, right? That this is possible. But what is additionally probable, but nobody wants to say it, is how that pipe deal and that pike exit compromised that system. That's where I think this word irregular keep being used. But to be clear, the minister is not saying something that is theoretically impossible or even improbable in noting that the heat could have an impact on the system. Right? The power outages continue. You can get some relief as soon as this weather cool down and you all stop using all this air condition. Get some relief. Because then they won't have to force cuts on now. Now, my suspicion is, unless they get that irregular configuration figured out, that it might be still, there may be still some challenges to the system. Of course, while you're at it, you have to explain why this is affecting Grand Key. Grand Key don't have the same demand as New Providence. Elutra and Abaco and them don't have the same demands as New Providence. So when we talk about the combined ambient heat demand, how do you explain that in those islands? And then don't explain the same thing happening in a place like Grand Bahama, where you would have higher demand than Abaco, I believe, and certainly Grand Key. And you don't have exploding transformers and exploding cables and them kind of stuff. But I'm not an engineer. Just asking a question. So to be clear, the list of outstanding questions before this administration remains long. Did the government of the Bahamas receive $120 million for the sale of Grand Lucayo? Does anyone have an answer to that question? What is happening with the sale of Grand Lucayo? Couple of weeks before election, MSCs was on the scene. Oh, we just bought 20 acres of the Grand Lucayo thing. We can be doing this, we can be doing that. Election was in May, on the 16th of May. This is now May, June, July, August, September. Nothing from MSC. Nothing from, what's the place the people name by who supposedly bought Grand Lucayo? What their name again? See, if something was happening, I'd remember, I'd know. What was their name again? Somebody remind me. Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas told us, our Prime Minister told us, we just mobilized some folks to do some work down at the Grand Bahama Airport for its redevelopment. Not one lick is happening at Grand Lucayo and Airport. We secured the money for the redevelopment of the Grand Bahama Airport. Not a lick. No answer. That's what silence sounds like. That's what it sounds like. And you ask a question, you ask questions, and you get That's what it sounds like. No answers. But you can get selective answers, though. Right? You can get selective answers. People will come and talk to you about overtime pay at BPL. Get an answer to that. You can get an answer to, well, I'm touring the solar plant down there in Old Bight, Cat Island, my constituency. Talk about that. But on some of these radio matters, the pivot is all the opposition looking for relevance. Or they just crying sour grapes. This text says, I think the group was Buckshaw. What does that mean? Oh, no, Berkshire. No, Berkshire. It wasn't Berkshire. Wilshire. Concord, Wilshire. Capital, yeah. Concord, Wilshire. Can I hear from them? Can I hear from mine? I want you all to bear in mind, this is supposed to be an $800+ million development. We had a masterful, massive signing ceremony. All the room was packed. People were excited. The president of the Grand Bahama Port Authority gave a marvelously motivational speech. Everybody was there. The prime minister, the deputy prime minister was there. Everybody was there. Greg Norman was there, the legendary professional golfer was there. All kinds of people, we were lined up on the wall. I did the show from there. We had all kinds of people went there, they gone there, and they scraped the wall of the
They scraped the water of the building, trying to tear down the building because work was going to be started. Well, nothing and no explanation, you know. No, I mean, see, think about that for a moment, right? Like nothing, just nothing. I mean, like just the investors, just like they're an investor. Staples was popping out the prime minister's office for the investors just before election. MSC, big announcement. MSC is not a small operation, you know. MSC, they big people. Nothing. Incredible. Incredible. I always say to you on this show, things do not always go as planned. That's reality. You could plan for something. You could wish for something. You could do all in your power for something. It don't go as planned. But when you are in leadership, communicate with people is a must. Tell them, listen, man, boy, I thought we had it. I thought it was in the bag. I thought that $120 million was in the bag, but no. That level of directness and dialogue with the public can only inspire trust that helps us to cooperate and coordinate our affairs for the benefit of the country. But you have to demand. You have to demand more. You listening to me? You minding me? Me? They just say, oh, lady, him don't mind him. He just what he is. The press, oh, don't mind them. They're against us. Oh, the opposition, oh, they lose. But you are a different creature. You, the power really belongs to you. And unless you in sufficient numbers speak up, unless you in sufficient numbers rally yourselves, nobody can pay no attention if they think, child, please, why with them? I didn't win. I have won. This is the quiet bit. Listen, man. Things are very quiet now. Are they not? Am I deluded? Do you get the impression that things are not very, very quiet now? Very quiet. All them folk, them is all over the place, giving out this, giving out that. Picture this and picture that. Now, I know some of these guys, some of them, like Pierre Glover and them. Pierre Glover and them. Pierre ain't never been no talkative person. She will speak when she needs to and so forth. But she's a worker. She goes and she works. And so some of them are like that. Even they don't. But some of them ones who was always up inside the media always got something to say. Like you take the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture. Like he's never been someone really just press hungry, always want to be in the press. He ends up there sometimes, you know, dealing with issues and so forth. That, but he go do it. He's a worker. So I know that. I expect him and them. But some of these other people. Is this lying? Cooper was a failure in tourism, and now he's a disaster in education. Brave set him up for a failure. Do you think Brave care about him? So lying money was given to a PPP by the government. I saw the PM attacking the Grandmama Port Authority again. Good luck. It says, good day, Mr. Lang, and Bahamian people cannot trust this government, poor untrusted tactics. The PM has to be the minister of disaster because everything he touches explodes to disaster. But it couldn't be everything he touches because he got a second term. So apparently for lots of people, enough people, what he touched was turned into gold, not disaster. He says, I hope every public officer and their family stand with our teachers. I guess Mr. Buck has to eat them breakfast. So I guess Mr. Buck has to eat them breakfast by himself without keeping account. Don't know if they were consumed or thrown away. Wow. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. I understand that El Nino will last until next year, February. Okay. Wow. Well, good day. So how do we fix this? The silence is deafening, but it hurts us as a people. I don't know. Well, I have a recommendation. You just give Mr. Hartnell the question. You give Mr. Hartnell the question. If he raises it, you get an answer. Says, when Transformers started exploding everywhere, I said this didn't happen last year or the year before, when we also had record high temperatures. The thing that changed is what they changed. They built a new substation and they installed new components on the T&D network. The change is the reason for all these disruptions. On September 16th, every business should present the House of Assembly with the list of all money lost and every citizen, all equipment and all food lost. That'll be something. That would be something. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Comrade Lang. How you doing?
I'm right here, man. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I just called to agree with you 1,000%. I sit in my dog in the middle of the road, no car coming, everything quiet. Even the car quiet, and the dogs and the cats quiet.
Feel like the pandemic.
I exactly. Nobody outside. Nobody throwing water from the pump. But Mr. Lang, you know what the ironic thing is about it? The Bahamian people overwhelmingly vote to screw back in.
Not overwhelmingly, you know, because more people voted against the Progressive Liberal Party or did not vote by big numbers than voted for them. So that they got 66,000 votes as an example. The FNM got 46,000 votes, and then 60,000 plus people didn't show up. So that's 100 plus thousand people that voted either against the government, I mean the PLP, or did not vote at all.
Well, what I'm trying to say, look at the amount of seats. They were able to get
question with that. No question with that, brother. No question about it.
And you got some fellas or some people out there, they ain't gonna ever vote for me in your skin color. They ain't gonna ever do it. And the definition of insanity is that almost 60 has been the same thing over and over again and complaining for 5 years later.
But the thing about it for me is this, right? So we didn't do the vote now. So there's no, our prime minister is Prime Minister Davis. Our government is a PLP administration. That's what it is. I'm not, people have a right to vote in who they want to vote in. What I'm trying to do today is ask the kinds of questions to try to compel the kinds of answers that are a part of governance. It's even about FNM or PLP. You cannot be a good government and you are refusing to answer foundational questions. You cannot be a good government and do that.
I agree. But that should tell us, even that should tell us something about this administration.
There's still time to answer. So I'm not gonna draw any conclusions yet. So there's still time to answer. I'm waiting though. It's been 100 days almost.
Well, until this point, I want to see how very serious the leader of the opposition is with, like you say, trying to get this matter into court. Let me see how serious he is. He hitting all the right points. Let's see how serious he is. Thanks for taking Grammy Boy God.
Okay, bro. Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. This text says, hey, Zhivago, I am enjoying your second hour tremendously. Don't get lost in the weeds, though. Finish the rest of your list of questions because I think it's very important. I thought the sound of silence was quite effective. but I asked all the questions I thought I wanted to ask about today. I mean, you don't have answers to about the vouchers that were issued before the election. You don't have answers to that. You know, how does a candidate's name come to be on a voucher purchased by the Ministry of Finance? You don't have questions answered about that. We don't have details about the purchase of the Grand Bahama Power Company. We do not. So, you know, there's questions related to that. We don't know why and what the situation is with the hiring of, what do you name, Jeremy Cole, what have you, getting $20,000 a month, and Mr. Stone and them. Like, what's happening now? Are they still on the payroll? What's going on with that now? What have we gotten for that money to date? And is that money being paid out? Do you all know $20,000 a month is? Boy, if you give me $20,000 a month to do what they're being paid to do, you all would swear I was insane trying to get the attention of the president. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Wendy's is spicing things up this summer with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger. A hot, juicy beef patty topped with spicy jalapenos, creamy ranch sauce, melted cheese, and fresh toppings for the perfect balance of cool and spicy. Every bite brings bold flavor that keeps you coming back for more. Turn up the flavor with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger at Wendy's today. Available for a limited time only.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, bless good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Right here. You know, Mr. Lang, I believe that the Prime Minister and this PLP administration, they are governing for the people who voted for them, the 70,000 plus thereabouts. Who support them. So the others, in my opinion, they really ain't checking for whatever we say or whatever people say or whatever it is. Because they had 100 and something unanswered questions, Grand Lucine and all of that. And so the people still supported them. And the ones who did not vote, they in actuality is saying, listen, it doesn't matter who wins, we're down with that. So they didn't care to vote. It means to me that they voted for this government, not against them. They voted for them.
Well, you know, the truth is too, they are now the X factor. So if I can promise you this, listen to me. If the government believed that that crew of people would mobilize for the next election, they might act differently.
Yeah, if they believe that.
That's why I'm trying to say to them, those people, they are the X factor.
Yeah, but
I'm saying that they hold the leverage today.
Yeah. But Mr. Lang, and you know, as has been shown across the Caribbean, especially, you know, there has been a decline in voter
turnout.
Yep. I spoke to a number of people.
For sure.
Who have said, and these are so-called educated people, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not going to make a change. It doesn't matter. Yep. So, as Mr. Alfred Gray says, as long as these people are working, I guess, and they're able to pay BPL and pay whatever it is, and they can absorb the shocks of life, whoever they are, they could live.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And you are right to point out it is possible that we have now entered a permanent state of voter decline. It is possible that could spell entrenchment for any political party. I mean, so you're right. That is quite possible. It could be that we will now have 60-70% of people voting every single time now.
And I don't know, because I talked to a young person, he's probably in his 20s. I said, we're having issues with the light. I said, now, see what you voted for. Oh, my generation, we don't vote. You know, I said, so who's going to change the situation? Well, I don't know. I said, so what's going to happen to you when you grow up and when you get older, if y'all don't decide the direction? Because I'm on my way out. I can't be more concerned about your future than you are. You know, I can't be more concerned about leaving a better Bahamas and you ain't checking. You know.
But the problem is that kind of argument doesn't get to them. That's not the argument that wins young people. So young people are very relational. Okay? If you know, in their circles, they're most influential. In the early days of their life, their parents are the most influential people. At a certain stage in their early primary school, that kind of stuff, their teachers are their influences. And so if a teacher say something and their parents walk with that, they'll be, but my teacher say. But later on in life, you know, becomes their most influential people, their peers.
Right.
Okay? But the adults that have influence in their life have that influence because the relationship they forge with those young people is such that they come to reside some confidence and trust in their judgment. So if you are a leader and you want to appeal to them, you have got to have a connection that establishes a relationship. It can be just about the kind of charisma you have, the personality you have, about the kind of ways in which you have a touch point on the issues that really matter to them. But that's what has to happen. They're not going to be won by abstract or philosophical arguments about the things that we rightly say are true. But there has to be a relationship established with them, a connection.
And that is why Pastor Mario Moxley, as I had spoken in an earlier conversation, advocated that at least 30% of the candidates be under 30, so the young people can see people like them involved.
That's one way you could do it. Yeah,
you know,
that's one way you could do it. You can motivate them
to get, you know, but you, like I said, you have a lot of time these recyclable people who try to make a career politician, you know. And so you need to have more younger people in there, and so that they can see, you know, the country being run like making deals and them other people.
Yeah. All right, my brother. Appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot. This text says good governance should not care who vote for them. You are there to govern the country and to be transparent in all dealings. If you are not that, then that's just who you are. I agree with you 100%. This text says, Mr. Lang, remember the greatest Ponzi scheme in the world? Well, this PLP government is the Bernie Madoff. Anyway, we're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Managing your investments just got easier with RF Bank and Trust. You can now deposit funds directly into your investment account from any local bank using your brokerage cash account number. It's simple, secure, and funds are available within 1 to 2 business days. Just log into RF Online to find your account number, add RF Bank and Trust as a payee in your preferred banking app, and send your funds directly to your RF account. To learn more, visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust, money at work.
Since 1999, Storm Frame Windows has been the name Bahamians trust for authentic, tested, impact-rated windows and doors. 26 years, zero failures during Hurricane Dorian. Somewhere, a hurricane is still filing a complaint. Protect your biggest investment. Call Storm Frame Windows at 325-6633. Storm Frame Windows, proven since 1999. Undefeated ever since.
At Everybody Wins Live, the winning is bigger, the action is hotter, and the excitement never stops. We're giving away thousands in cash and free spins every month through our high-paying casino tournament. From spin-off to spin rush to our high-energy slot race tournament, your next spin can turn into your next payday. But that's not all. Lottery players can chase the jackpot, where every $10 lottery spend gets you one step closer to bursting the next jackpot. Will you be our next winner? What are you waiting for? Visit Everybody Wins Live to see all the ways you can cash in.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the gold package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call in these last moments, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. There is an arrogance that can creep in when you win an election. That is true. There is a greater arrogance that can creep in when you win successive elections. It is possible. It's definitely possible to say. You can buy the argument told to yourself, we won. Therefore, we have been given the right to govern as we please. And to an extent, that is true. That is true. To an extent, you have the right to do as you please, having been elected. And all the arguments about, well, most people didn't vote for you or voted against you, those are just arguments. Doesn't matter. You have the legitimate power. You have the power to make decisions, to determine the direction that the government goes in, to determine what controls, or to rather control the government. That's the Constitution gives that right to the duly elected members of the government, unappointed members of the government. So there's no question about that. And you could often tell it, you could watch how particularly newbies behave in the early stages of governance. Watch them, right? Some of them are filled with bravado, and they're bigoty about it and so forth and so forth. But when you do things improperly, when you do things that cause you embarrassment, or cause your government embarrassment, life has a way of slapping you right back down to humility. Right? That's a way to do that. Now you talk a little different. Sometimes you don't want to talk at all. Sometimes you want to hide because you didn't cause yourself and your party and your government some embarrassment. But beforehand, you're talking up hard, you're buffeting the people, members opposite, and you're chiding them and goading them and so forth. And then all of a sudden things break up and bust up, and now you're in a different space and place. Life has a way of doing that. Right? Ingram taught me many things, two things early in my political career that mattered a whole lot. One, he said, Zhivago, never lie to the public. Because on the day that you lie to the public, you cease to have the trust necessary to be in leadership, in public life. Never lie to the public. Tell them the truth. Good, bad, or ugly. Right? He said, secondly, answering the public ain't no luxury. It's your duty. They ask a question in the House of Assembly. It's your duty to answer, not no luxury you are. Public ask you what you did with their money, what you did with their time, and so forth and so forth. They have a right to ask you that, and you ought to answer. He says that is a part of good governance. I took that to heart. I believed in that principle. Sometimes to my hurt. But it was what was required. And just because you don't get punished by voters for behaving a certain way doesn't change whether what you're doing is good or not. See, voters can vote how they want. Good governance doesn't require a voter's vote. Good governance is clear. Transparency, accountability, honesty, integrity, efficiency, and effectiveness. They are tenets of good governance that don't require no vote from the citizenry. If all the citizens were blind and all were deaf, it would still be required to act in a way that is above suspicion, to act transparently, to act accountably. Even everybody ain't gonna agree with you, but still, it is required of good governance. And in the end, Your conscience ain't about your vote. Your conscience is about your alignment with the principles that matter to good governance. We can play politics. That's standard. That's the low. That's the low bar. The politics is the low bar. Winning is a low bar. Governing well, that's the high bar. You want me to say it again? Winning is the low bar. It ain't easy, but it's still the low bar. The high bar is governing well. And it is not easy to govern well. But my God, there are some basic principles in it that you just can't run away from. You cannot run away from being transparent. You cannot run away from being accountable. You cannot run away from answering people about their things. Their things. Whether they do that questioning through the press, whether they do that through the media, whether they do that through the opposition, it doesn't matter. Winning an election is the low bar. Low bar. The high bar is governing well. After all, why the hell win an election? You want to win an election to govern. And why do you want to govern? To govern well. So the rally is the high bar. This text says 2026 general election register discrepancies. Many of us Bahamians, our husband and wife, were unable to vote because one spouse was missing from the register. Please, we wanted to vote, but upon arrival, the poll name was omitted from the register. That is true. Previous callers shouldn't generalize individuals who didn't vote. Thanks, Minister. Like, that is very true. Very true. There are people who, any number of circumstances not of their own making, cause them to not vote. Say, leave Joe Beth alone. You mashing a con me? I call nobody near. No one. This text says, good day, sir. Why you chase Anton down the crab hole? Did he come out yet? But you all is some facetious people now. So we can reduce all this stuff to FNMPLP. We could do that. We could do that. And some plenty of us will do that. Come on. Go on right ahead. In the end, the only thing that benefits the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is good governance. That's the only thing that benefits the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is good governance. Huh? You don't maintain or uplift the integrity of a nation without good governance. You don't manage the fiscal affairs of a country without good governance. You don't fix the infrastructure of a country without good governance. You don't maintain the integrity of your democracy without good governance. You don't get children the help they need without good governance. You don't get your citizens the public help they need without good governance. You don't get people the economic relief they need without good governance. Good governance and the absence of good governance will result in deteriorations that make you turn on each other, that make you a non-cohering society. It will make you a society of self-serving, selfish partisans who will do anything to get what they want and the hell with the rest of the country. That's the alternative to good governance. You will deteriorate into a corrupt, terrible society that few people want to live in. Good governance ain't just no words. It's a practice that matters, that we should strive for. Yeah, we make mistakes. Sometimes we even make bad judgments. But our aspirations have to be true, man, and sincere, and urgent, and intense. So, Shivago, your show can be subject on curriculum for schools. I learn a lot, a whole lot. I agree with you, and Rodney Monker was told the same by PM Ingram. Masterclass in statesmanship. I appreciate you. I'm trying my best, but The only thing that gets us further ahead, makes the progress, is good governance, man. And good governance ain't what Chivago say. It ain't what I think about myself patting myself on the back. These are established principles, man. And they're easy to spot. You can tell a good government. You can tell when people are committed to good governance. You can tell. You can tell. It's not hard at all. And we should always strive for good governance. If the PLP governs the Bahamas excellently, man, they will hear it from me every single day. If the FNM does so, they'll hear it from me every day. If the DNA or COI gets in and they do so every day, no matter how I feel. How I feel. I am nonpartisan when it comes to good governance. But when you govern poorly, I can care less what you think about my politics. Because the only people who can suffer in that regard is the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And they include myself, my children, my family, my friends, and my neighbors. Say good day. I'm listening to your show as always. Some comments today from the callers are so funny but true. Yeah, for real. Sometimes that's the best way to make the point. Anyways, listen, y'all have a fantastic day. Thank you so very much for joining us. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel.